Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
Let's do this. We'll start the holiday weekend the fun way, everybody. That's right. It's Friday. That means I just say don't even go to work. Just start your weekend now. It's an extended weekend with a holiday on Monday. Do what you can, when you can, with who you can. And who you can with today is us, Jim Cozumel, and believe it or not, the great J.D. John Dickinson, who I think just got off the air and is ready to go back on the air. J.D., how's life treating you this morning?
Yeah, doing pretty well. It's a game changer, Coz, when you can do a show and then literally walk about 5 feet and hop into bed and get your rest and then get right back up and go into your home studio. Your home studio.
Wow.
Because, you know, we all have home studios these days.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
Just get ready for the next wave. So it's actually, it's not what it would be under normal circumstances if, you know, it drove into the city and did a show late at night, which, you know, we've done many times, some of these late
yes.
Warrior games, and then go home and then shoot right back. So, you know, it's doable.
It's exciting to go and do those late night shows and make the turnaround happen so quickly.
Yes,
but
it
you're
is.
Right, it is much easier to do it the way we're doing it right now. Good morning and welcome in, everybody. 95.7 The Game. Jolo and Dibs have the extended weekend off, so JD and I are going to sit in here on a Friday, have ourselves a little fun. You mentioned the Warriors and how tough it was to do those late-night games coming back sometimes if you had to turn around with an early morning kicker. You've had a number of those on a couple of different levels, whether it's filling in on Jolo and Dibs or a Friday night Warrior game. Moving into a Saturday morning, you and I used to do the Saturday morning basketball show here, and it was a tough turnaround at that point. But, J.D., are you hopeful that we might have those types of turnarounds coming up shortly in the NBA?
Yeah, it's looking like they're getting closer, you know, with the things leaking out. I know, you know, Shams Charania had reported yesterday that they're getting closer to coming up with a testing plan. I know it sounds like they're floating the idea of maybe being able to get teams into some kind of a training camp by the middle of June, which is, you know, a good sign, and then maybe play games at some point. In Orlando or Vegas or both, it sounds like Orlando has the lead, but maybe play at least somewhere between, I don't know, 4 and 8 games minimum. There's a lot of different ways they can go about doing it. We don't really know that the Warriors necessarily, as a non-playoff team, would be a part of it. I think they're still trying to sort through all that, but there has been more optimism, I think, within the last couple of weeks. Out of, you know, not only Major League Baseball but the NBA, as far as, hey, we're getting closer to at least, you know, having a possibility of something returning, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Maybe it gives us all a little bit of a silver lining on what the way we're looking at the world to have some sense of normalcy, although we don't know what that normalcy will look like. We hear a bunch of different plans for all the different sports and how they might want to try and return. And I even wonder in the NBA when they start to think of a plan, and if we just play, you know, pie in the sky, let's say it starts sometime in July, whether it's going to be, you know, as they say, it's going to be those bubble locations. Maybe it's one location, maybe it's two. It's Orlando and Vegas, I think they're talking about. if that means that there are games that start at 12 noon that day and just go all the way through the evening time, you might have a Warrior pregame show that starts at 11 in the morning, right, with a noontime game.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how they schedule those things.
Well, I think that's the only way they're going to be able to do it on the timeline that they've sort of set out for this. It's just going to be, and it's easier to do if everybody's at one site or at two sites. But yeah, think of it almost like a high school tournament or like a,
Summer league. It's just like the NBA Summer League.
Exactly. You've covered it and I've covered it over the years, Summer League, where it's, you got a game at 12, at 2, at 4, at 6, at 8 in two gyms. And that's basically how you can have about 20 teams playing a day. And, maybe you throw in a couple of back-to-backs. I actually think, not to get too wonky on it, I actually think even given the timeline that they currently have, they could play quite a few games if they really wanted to. It's just a matter of what's appropriate and what's safe, obviously, in this age that we're living in. But, I if they're comfortable not starting the playoffs until, let's say, the end of July or even August 1st, and they're comfortable not starting next season until around Christmas, they really could go late into September to get an NBA Finals done, and it would sort of be on the same timeline that the normal season is on. It ends in June and it comes back, 3 months later, training camp begins sort of the end of September. You'd push that back, truncate it a little bit, but, depending upon how eagerly they want to try and get as many in as they can, there actually is maybe a little bit more flexibility than people think. But again, safety is going to be first and foremost at the top of everybody's list.
Yeah, when we talk about things, I think for people who jump on the text line and say, "Oh, it's got to be safe, it's got to be scientists." Listen, just go with the assumption that we all believe that's part of the equation.
You know,
we all understand it's got to be safe. We don't want players licking each other at the foul line when they're sweating up. Okay, we're not saying that. Let's all assume they're going to go about it in a safe fashion and then have an adult conversation, because that's the best way to go about these things. What I think would be funny, though, JD, like in the NBA Summer League, only it'll be with the actual NBA players, you might see LeBron and the Lakers on the floor taking on, pick your Western Conference team. It could be the San Antonio Spurs, Phoenix, and then standing on the baseline in their uniforms holding basketballs ready to go into the layup line waiting for the game to end, or Steph Curry standing at one end of the floor. The next team is always ready to go, and then the Kings are on the other side of the floor in their game uniforms just geared up and ready to go, because it's my understanding that the league wants these guys to shower at the hotel. Don't even shower at the facility, right? You're going to go back to the hotel, shower up, and get clean, right? They want all. They're trying to be as safe as possible, and that's one of the ways that they've talked about things.
Yeah, essentially show up and play. And I know Major League Baseball has thrown that out there. I really hope, and again, I hope that all 30 teams are a part of it. I know I've given that a lot of thought the last couple of last few weeks, and I know it's easy at times to say, and look at it from the Warriors' point of view and say, well, they're the one team that was mathematically eliminated this season. Do they really need to be a part of it? And I think there's a solidarity and a fairness and a hey, we're all back and we're going to get through this together. You know what I mean? We as a society are trying to all get through this together. So I think there's a statement made by a league, especially if they wind up being the first league to come back, that, hey, everybody's in it together. Everybody's in it, even if it is just four games or six games or whatever.
Sure.
I don't feel like there should be, we're out of it, so we don't want to, why bother? No, you bother because this is about, trying to help a country turn around and come back. And and by showing that everybody can be in it together, I think there's an underlying benefit there. And, does that mean Steph Curry has to be out there playing 40 minutes? No, or even play at all. I don't know. But I would like to see all 30 teams, even if some of those teams that aren't currently playoff teams don't get much of a shot to actually make it, just to give every team's fans an opportunity to see their team a few times. I think that gives people hope, and I think hope is a needed thing right now as we start to, you know, creep out from this, you know, last 2 months.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it would be fantastic. I'll be intrigued to see just how they schedule this thing. There was a time not too long ago where we saw 4 games in 5 nights in 4 different cities. Players pushed back on that. It eventually eroded away, and now you'll never see 4 games in 5 nights. But with no travel, being in one central location, being together all the time, not having travel and the dysfunction of getting into cities late at night, staying in different hotels, different body clocks, I wonder if they will ask players to play 4 games in 5 days. Because if you're in Vegas for an extended period, it's not too far-fetched to say they'd be playing basketball 4 out of 5 days anyway.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that? And I've crunched some of the numbers on it a little bit.
You're a number cruncher.
On the calendar, because I'm kind of a nerd that way. You know, even if they choose July 15th, which has been the latest date that I've heard to where they ramp it up and they're playing games on July 15th, I keep coming back to, you know, you could play back-to-backs or even every other. Teams could play every other day, even if they didn't start until July 15th. Teams could play every other day. Basically, half the league plays one day, half the league plays the next day, and you just go every other day for let's say, 2.5 weeks. You could have every team play 8 games just doing that.
That's
over
perfect.
A 2.5. And that's with no back-to-backs. That's just playing every other day. So if you mix in one here or there, you're up to 10. If you can start maybe the 11th instead of the 15th, then all of a sudden, you know, maybe you could get as many as 12 or 13 games in if you want, and not really alter the timeline at all. I know there can be an uncomfortableness in throwing things out here given the gravity of the situation, but it just like willy-nilly with the schedule and, oh, do this and do that and play more and it's no big deal. Your point, obviously, it being safe is assumed in this situation. There is some flexibility, and that's the thing I keep coming back to. It doesn't have to only be 4 games. It could be 10. It could be 12 and still not get going until maybe the 10th, 11th, 12th of July.
Oh, I'd love to see that. That'd be an awful lot of fun. We are sports heavy here on Joe Lo and Dibs. We got Vinny Serrato, former Niner executive, former Redskins executive. NFL has an interesting plan out or thought out about some rules changes. We'll run that by Vinny Serrato at 6:30. Jeremy Lin from Beijing will join us. That would be huge. Bobby Evans, the former Giants executive. Will they go to a universal DH this summer if they play baseball? And Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, how are the colleges handling all this? John Dickinson, Jim Cosimore, with you here on a Friday, the beginning of the holiday weekend, in for Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs.
I'm trying to be professional here,
right,
and rip other media members. That's what I do.
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, classy, everybody. Very, very classy. This segment is presented by Golden State Lumber. It's open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. Good to see people out and about working hard. If your business is able to be open, man, I hope it's thriving. I hope it's doing very well, Golden State Lumber. We hope you're getting tons of business, and I'm glad to see people out there moving and shaking, getting things done. Joe Lo and Dibs, all three, off today, extended holiday weekend for them. Jim Cosimore, John Dickinson, in with you. JD, are you getting a sense things starting to bubble a little bit, things starting to open up around you? I'm having some ups and downs in my particular neck of the woods, but how about you? You starting to feel more people out and about?
Yeah, definitely. I've been going for, you know, regular walks just kind of around town, around downtown in Walnut Creek, around, you know, some of the trails. And it does seem, you know, with people socially distancing and wearing masks and taking the precautions. But I'm seeing a lot of people out. I'm seeing a lot of people trying to, you know, get takeout at their, you know, local restaurant,
good,
which is a good thing. I'll tell you, I felt the most normal in a strange way yesterday than I had in a couple of months. And I told this story last night when I was in with Shasky in the butcher shop. I went to the dentist yesterday, and
nice.
I had a, you know, my normal cleaning. right? It was scheduled, you know, 6 months ago, right? You go,
sure.
Go to the dentist and you schedule it 6 months out. And I kept thinking, you know, there's no way this appointment's actually going to happen, right? Because I just kept expecting it to get canceled. I knew it was, you know, May 21st and it was coming up. And I got the, you know, they send you a text message, hey, your appointment's in a week. So I called them thinking, well, this isn't really going to happen, right? And they said, oh, no, we're open. We got to ask you a few questions. We're able to do, you know, normal cleanings now and certain work. And we just, you know, come in, you wear a mask. We'll do a temperature check. We'll ask you a few questions. We'll do a little rinse. And then, yeah, the hygienist can do the cleaning and the dentist can look at you and make sure you're all right. And you can, you know, move about your day. It's relatively business as usual. It sounded like there were a lot of people that had canceled on their own, so they were almost happy to be like, yeah, you're in. And I said, yeah, I'm in, definitely. Let's do this. I you know, as scheduled, I'll go in and do it. So I went in, did it with the mask, and you know, sanitized the hands, and got the temperature check, and went in there and got it done. So it was one of those things that we tend to take for granted for sure. And maybe even don't like doing, you know, a lot of people don't like going to the dentist, but it was so nice to have that just normal routine of doing something, even with a little bit of the new normal mixed in. It did feel more like, okay, we're starting to get back to business as usual a little bit.
There you go. That's the key. Get back to feeling normal again. And that's a great story. Although I had a similar situation. I did realize everyone who was working at that particular dentist's office was wearing virtually a hazmat suit. But I get it. You got to do it. That's the new rule. You go about it. And it was neat to have some sense of normalcy in life. We hope you out there are having a sense of normalcy. To the one person who decided to call and shut down the one location that had been given the okay to open, I really don't like you. Stay out of other people's business. That's my key. That's my key to everyone listening today. Stay out of other people's business. Let people make their own decisions.
Check this
out. Let's get back to you alone.
Real quick, check this out. My parents' dogs are getting groomed today.
Very nice.
That, we're getting back to something here.
Yes.
They're finally going to get their fur shaved off. It's getting a little too scruffy for my liking, Coz.
Scruffy fur, and you probably have to deal with the nails. I bet the nails are a little bit long. They're going to have to deal with those nails for those pups,
right,
too.
Right, yeah. The nails have never been an issue with them, you know?
Oh,
never been too much of an issue. But the fur has really been the problem.
Yeah, well, what kind of dogs they got?
Honestly, I don't know. They found them in Hayward. They were lost dogs and, you know, the mutts, as they say. But they don't know which kind. I think one of them is a mix between a poodle and a Bichon Frise. The other one,
fancy.
I do not know. The other one has eyes that are of a human. It's terrifying.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
That's hilarious. You know what, though? We love our dogs, don't we? Well, I love my dog, Snickers. Got him at Tony La Russa's place. It was one of those rescue dogs. Absolutely love Snickers.
Nice.
So it was a mutt. That's okay. It's fun. It's a fun dog. You have your fun with it. All right, Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. You can always listen to us on the radio.com app. Make sure you download it today. Get all the great content from radio.com, and you can hear Joe Lowe and Dibs, and you have the rewind portion of it. It's really great stuff. But in today, Jim Cosimore and John Dickinson and JD, National Football League, they're right now planning to go about their season. They've got some contingency plans, but also some rule change information starting to leak out a little bit. There is a proposal out there that a team that is trailing in a game, instead of kicking off, they would be given an option to go with 4th and 15 from their own 25. If they make it on 4th and 15, they would keep the possession going instead of kicking off or onside kicking. When you hear of a proposal like that, what are your immediate thoughts of a new option instead of an onside kick?
I hate it.
Wow.
I really
things are getting
really,
back to normal.
I really, really hate that, actually. And the simplest reason I'll give for not being a fan of it is I'm just not a fan of, you know, things within the rules that give a team that, you know, maybe hasn't played the best game a chance to steal that game. And so the what comes into mind is, okay, you know, you're down two touchdowns, let's say, with a minute 25 to go, and you go and you score a touchdown, And then you're like, yeah, you get onside kick, which a normally a team would do an onside kick, which has a very low success rate now. But, you know, it gives you that. That's your chance. It's got to be a real low, you know, probability that you're going to get it. But now to just give that team the ball against a defense that they just scored on. So you've got essentially a tired defense that now has to remain on the field, not just for however many plays they were on the field, but for at least another play. And if that 4th and 15 is converted, I think at the yes, the likelihood of it being converted isn't great. But if it is converted, I think you really put that defense at a disproportionate disadvantage. So I think it's gimmicky. I think it's it's fun on paper, but in the nobody wants to see their team potentially lose a game that way. When, you know, hey, if you're up two touchdowns with, let's say, 3 minutes left and you give up one touchdown and you're still up a touchdown, you deserve to have a 95 or greater percent chance of winning that game.
You know what? For the masses, though, don't they want to be engaged? If I'm not a fan, let's say the game is it's 49ers and the Broncos, and I'm not a fan of either team, I want an extra reason to stick around for that thing. I want to see if there's something exciting that can happen. It's entertainment to me. It might be different if you're a 49er fan or Bronco fan, but if you're a general football fan who just wants intrigue, it's like on Sunday night, I want to sit around to the very end and make sure that something could eventually happen. I find this intriguing that they're thinking about tweaking some rules. Does the NFL even need to think about changing rules? And are there any things, JD, that you would like to see them do? I like the fact that they're talking about it. I don't know if it works in practice. I don't know what the analytics say about 4th and 15 plays and how often a team is able make it happen. But I find it intriguing. By the way, we're going to be joined by Vinny Serrato, the former NFL executive, in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to pick his brain about this and more. Do you at least find it encouraging the NFL is analyzing their league and trying to find ways, whether it does or not, trying to find ways to tweak it and they hope make it more intriguing?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm a little reluctant when, and I think there is a safety element to this as well that I get uncomfortable with. I don't like when, you know, leagues use safety as a reason to kind of gimmick it up. And I feel like that's being done a little bit in particular with this rule. They're worried about kickoffs and they're worried about onside kicks and bodies flying around. And it's, you know, that is part of the reason I think why they're looking at doing this. I just think it's another opportunity to create the great comeback story. You know, to create the great, it's like, just let that stuff happen on its own. Let the game naturally happen on its own as it was intended to be played. You're still going to get enough great moments, that happen. There's no need to drum up another great moment because you're going to give Aaron Rodgers a 4th and 15 at the 25. You're going to give Mahomes, if he's down, or Lamar Jackson a chance to convert a play that we'll watch on the highlights for, you know, the next 6 weeks. You know what? Let's just let the game play out. And I don't know. That's just, I'm sure there's a lot of people that view it the other way, but I don't think there's anything dramatically wrong with the way that they've been doing it, you know, since the beginning of football.
I like the fact that they're at least thinking about it and trying something new. You mentioned kickoffs, and that's another area. And I don't know how much XFL you watch when it came back for the whatever it was, 6 weeks or so. And I was intrigued by the league because they did try to do some different things. One of them was the kickoff rule and the way the players were aligned. They didn't have the run-up with the kicker. The kicker kicked off. And they wanted to have a return, but they wanted to do it in the safest possible fashion. So the return team was all back at like their own 25 or 30 yard line. And the essentially the defensive side, the kicking team, was at about the 35 of the receiving team's side of the field. And they couldn't move until the ball was caught by the return man. And so you still had a football play. You didn't have the bone-crunching speed tackle.
And I at least thought the XFL was trying to come up with something new. But let's talk to a real NFL man, a guy who has been in the trenches and understands what it's like when some of these league conversations go on. The great Vinny Serrato joining us on Joe Low and Dibs. I'm Jim Cosimore. John Dickinson here as well. You know, Vinny is the former 49er, Redskins executive, and he's here. We're going to pick his brain a little bit on this one. Good morning, Vinny. I hope you and your family, we trust you're doing well and are safe right now.
Yes, everybody's doing well. Thank you. Hope you guys are too.
We certainly are, and thank you so much for joining us here. So we've been kicking around this idea, the NFL, you know, some information might have leaked out a little bit that the NFL might be considering a different option on a kickoff instead of an onside kick scenario. Maybe have a 4th and 15 from your own 25. If you complete that play, you continue the drive. What are your thoughts on the NFL just tossing around some different rules mixes to see how they might be able to improve their game?
Yeah, well, you know what? The thing what the NFL does is they float stuff out there to see what the public response is going to be. That was like with the draft pick with the minority, you know, coaching thing, and then that was a total bust. So that went by the wayside. So now, you know, they're floating out a bunch of ideas now to kind of see what public response is. I don't mind the 4th and 12 or 4th and 15, whatever it may be, you know, because the onside kick to me is one of the most dangerous plays in a national football. I mean, you've got 11 dudes lining up, and a lot of times one guy's responsibility is to go take the guy who they're kicking at, go knock the crap out of him, you know. So, I mean, it is a really, really physical play, probably one of the most physical plays in the game. So if they eliminated that, you know, I don't have a problem with that, but give a team an opportunity. And if they use a 4th and 12 or a 4th and 15, I don't really have a problem with that.
Vinny, I'll ask you this way. Why would you penalize a team, in essence, that has the lead late in the game, though? Like, if you're up 2 touchdowns and you give up a touchdown, and now you're, you know, the team's got to keep their defense out there. I mean, I don't know. There's something off about that. For me,
for one play, you know, it's not like it's for a whole drive, you know. And I don't know. I remember when I was in college, I was on the hands team, you know. And I mean, you're sitting there and you say, "Oh man, please don't kick it to me," you know. I mean, because everybody's coming at you. I mean, and it's a dangerous play. So I mean, one play, your defense has to go out there for one play. All right, they just went out there and they gave up, you know, a 10-play drive, and you know, or, yeah, you give up a 10-play drive, you give up a touchdown, and they're going to try, you know, their onside kick. So be it. You know, I mean, to me, I'd rather have my first team defense out there than, you know, maybe a hands team.
Well, that's an interesting take. Vinny Serrato joining.
What are the percentages of teams that got the onside kick? Probably not great. And what are the percentage of teams if it's 3rd and 15 or 4th and 15, what are those odds? You know, I would think the odds making a 4th and 15 are probably greater than recovering an onside kick.
That is interesting. I'm sure the NFL has that analytic, and I'm sure they're using that as part of their decision-making process and the float to the fan to see if they'd like it or not. Vinny Serrato, the great NFL executive, joining us here on Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And Vinny, I don't know how much XFL you watch. They had some rules differences. They had, what, a 1, 2, and 3 point point after touchdown option, and then their kickoff play. They promoted a kickoff, but in a different fashion. Is there something you'd want the NFL to entertain, to consider, to maybe make the game more enjoyable, whether it's from an entertainment fashion or safer from a football fashion?
Well, I didn't really watch much XFL. Wasn't there a kickoff once you caught it, then you could cover, something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the defense actually was, well, I think they were stationed at about the 30 or the 35-yard line of the receiving team, and the
right.
And the blockers were about 5 yards away from them.
Yeah.
No one could move until the return
that,
man touched
it. I didn't mind it, you know, because you want to keep the return in the game. Because to me, kickoff return is one of the most exciting plays, you know, in football. I mean, when I was at Notre Dame, we had Tim Brown and Rocket Ishmael. I mean, it was a very exciting play you know, for us. I think it's an exciting play, one of the plays that brings the, you know, the fans to their feet. You know, and it's a spot for a guy to have a job, to be a, you know, like when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, they had Jacoby Jones, you know, made a lot of big plays for them. So I kind of like, you know, that you have some type of return. Instead of putting the ball in a 25, I don't like that. I like having, you know, figure out a good way to have a return. The XFL way was kind of cool when I saw it on TV. You know, I love the punt return. I remember when Timmy Brown came out, you know, and he was great punt returner, kick returner at Notre Dame, then went to the Raiders, and he tore his knee up on kickoff return. And I remember asking him, and he says, I'll do punt returns all day. He said, because that's safer. He says, doing kickoff return, he said, it's dangerous because, he said, those guys are crazy. They're just throwing their bodies around and everything. Whereas if I make one guy miss, you know, on a punt return, I got a chance to have a big return. So, I mean, that was, you know, one thought from a guy that was a returner, that kickoff return was much more dangerous than punt return at that time.
Vinny, let's switch gears a little bit, talk about what's going on with the 49ers here in their offseason. And the big lingering question is what to do with George Kittle and his contract. How would you handle that? I mean, is there a case to be made that he should get paid more like a wide receiver than a tight end? And where do you find a middle ground if you're the 49ers? And I guess an extension of that is, what do you think of what the 49ers have done with their money and trades and everything this offseason?
I think they're smart. And with Kittle, I mean, Kittle's a tight end. You know, I mean, Kittle's always been a tight end. He was drafted a tight end. And, you know, now his agent probably wants him to be a wide receiver because he could get paid more money. You know, he's going to be he and Kelce are going to be the two highest paid tight ends when they get a chance to get their deals. And if Mark Andrews continues to do what he's doing, then he'll be bigger than them. So, I mean, they're going to get paid. They're going to get paid more than any tight end's ever been paid. So I don't see them having to pay him receiver money.
That's interesting, because I know in San Francisco they're thinking he could end up being the highest paid of the guys who are considered in the receiver core, because there isn't a true number one. Vinny Serrato with us here on Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Let's go around the NFL. Why is Cam Newton still a free agent? Is there a best fit for him still out there, Vinny?
Well, I would want this if I was interested in Cam. I'd want to bring him in and work him out. You know, number one, everybody wants to get a physical, you know, and have their people take a look at him. That's number one. Number two, you know, his throwing motion and stuff wasn't great. You know, I want to see him throw for me, you know, up close and personal before I would sign him. So those would be a couple things there. Is there a good place for him? I don't know. I think now, you know, maybe just sitting and waiting and seeing what happens in New England, what happens in Jacksonville, what happens in Washington. You know, I mean, if Haskins, the easiest thing for him is if Haskins is not good early on, he could step right in and, you know, go play. He would know the offense. You know, that would be an easy one for him there. So, but people want to get their hands on him, you know, first with their doctors, and I would think see him work out before they would sign him. And he doesn't need to be in any big hurry right now because it's just visual learning.
How big of a loss is DeForest Buckner for the 49ers?
Well, he was an outstanding player. You know, but I understand you can't keep them all. You know, when you got all those first-round picks, you can't pay them all. And you've got to decide, you know, who's getting paid. Because here's what you do, you know, what you're doing when you're running a club is you have a plan for that year, you have a 3-year plan, you have a 5-year plan. You know, and it's tough decisions. My cap guy always used to tell me, he says, you can have whatever you want, but it comes with consequences. You know, it's all about choices. All right, if you want that, then you can't have this and this. You know, so, you know, when the cap guy lays it out to you like that, all right, you can have Buckner, but if you keep Buckner and we pay Buckner, then we don't have A, B, and C. So, you know, I think that's why, you know, what they did was they traded him, got the first-round pick, and got another guy at his position who they're going to have cheap, much cheaper for the next 4 to 5 years.
One more quick one for you. I want to stay around the National Football League because the Cowboys are America's team. Dak Prescott and his contract, what is his worth, whether it's to the Cowboys or to the position? How sticky of a wicket is that going to be for Jerry Jones and company to get that done?
Well, you know, it always, to me, it goes back to, you know, you show me a team with a $100 million quarterback, I'll show you a team with no depth. You know, and I think Jerry understands that. They don't want to – I mean, if you rank where Dak is right now – I was doing this on my radio show yesterday. You know, somebody asked me. I would say Dak is anywhere between, you know, like 9 to 12, something like that. He's not a top 5 quarterback. He's not a top 8 quarterback in my mind. You know, he's somewhere around 10, 11, something like that. So, but it was the same thing with Joe Flacco. He won the Super Bowl, bet on himself, and he became the highest paid quarterback. Was he the best quarterback in the league? No. Was he top 5? No. But timing was perfect, you know, and he had leverage. You know, and right now the timing is good for Dak. He's got leverage, and he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid. You know, it's just how much he's going to get paid. I think it eventually gets done because they really don't have, you know, I mean, Andy Dalton, but otherwise he's won too many games for them and he's too young, so they're going to pay him. They just went backwards, you know, on the thing. They paid the running back. They paid the receiver. They paid the O-lineman. No, the most important position on your team that you got to pay is the quarterback.
You know what? I said I'd only give you one more. If I had to make you choose between Dak Prescott and Jimmy Garoppolo, do you have one that you'd take over the other?
I think both are guys that need to have players around them. I think, like, Jimmy needs to have receivers and a running game. Without a running game, I don't think Jimmy's that good. I think it kind of showed what Kyle and them thought about him, the one playoff game, whatever, they threw it 7 times. You know, something like that.
They have a lot of
faith and trust in him. You know, whereas Dak, I think they're willing to throw it at any time. I think they're similar. I think they're similar. They're both guys that are point guards. You know, that they dish the ball out. They need people that can finish for them.
I like it. Fair enough. Vinny, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We hope you have a safe holiday weekend and stay safe, and we'll do it again soon, and hopefully we'll have NFL in September.
You got it. All right, guys. Take care.
All right, there you have it. Vinny Serrato, the former NFL executive. You know him from the Niners and the Redskins. JD, if I threw that at you, you get to choose Dak Prescott or Jimmy Garoppolo. Easy answer, or is it pretty much what Vinny said?
It would be no. I think they are similar. I would go Garoppolo. I just think Garoppolo's a more consistent thrower. But I get where he's coming from, to where you could make a case that both need things to be a certain way to be their most successful selves.
All right. You know what? It's interesting. I think I go Garoppolo also. Like, I don't think I go Dak Prescott. I'd love to get. I don't know. Maybe we can kick that around a little bit later on, but that was kind of intriguing what was going on there. And it sounded like Vinny's for thinking about a 4th-and-15 play because of the viciousness of the onside kick. I would agree. If there's one spot I would not want to be on, I don't think I'd want to be on the hands team. I always thought I could be on the hands team, but man, you see those guys just get creamed on onside kicks, JD.
You do, and I, you know, he laid it out very well. I mean, and you know, I had mentioned the safety component, which I didn't fully understand. So I'm glad he actually laid that out. I still think it's more fair to give a team the very little chance, and I think it was down to 6% in 2018 onside kicks. 79 onside kicks actually in 2017. 79 onside kicks. The kicking team recovered 5 of them, so 6%.
Wow. That's a deep dive from JD at 6:45 in the morning. We're late for the break. Let's step aside. John Dickinson, Jim Cozumore in for Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs, starring Jim Cozumore.
When Bay Area teams win championships, Jim Cosimore wins Emmys. And I was moving some space on the shelf.
Wow.
For another Emmy.
On 95.7 The Game.
This segment presented by Golden State Lumber, open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. Glad you're out there moving about here on a Friday as we start the extended holiday weekend. Joe Lo and Dibs off today. They get the extra day off. Have some fun. They've been busting their tails for the longest time during this horrible pandemic. They've been doing a great job, as everyone has. John Dickinson is here. I am Jim Cosimore. JD working late into the night last night, turning around this morning and getting it done. JD, you deserve some type of company recommendation or commendation for your hard work late into the night and early this morning. Good job.
I'm happy to do it. And, you know, we were talking about things that make you feel like it's a little bit more normal. And I shared, you know, going to the dentist yesterday. And
yeah.
But doing that show last night and then flipping around and doing a show in the morning, that felt more like normal. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've done that. And I know you've done it as well, mm-hmm. both on the TV side and the radio side.
Sure.
As far as, you know, you work a late night and then you head into the city and you're ready to do that show the next morning. I know you've done it, and we've both done it for the 6 o'clock show,
yep.
You know, this show, and we've done it on the weekend. It's kind of invigorating, honestly, because you get so used to that grind, and it's been a much different kind of a grind as it has been for everybody these last 2.5 months. But it's good. You know, when Danny asked, you know, hey, what do you think about doing this? I was like, yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yep.
I like working. Let's do it.
That's the one thing I think we're all finding. As much as we want to complain about our jobs, the minute we are removed from them for a while, we start to realize, hey, maybe I missed what was going on there. So, and truth be told, we have fun jobs. I mean, you know, we're not sitting at a desk pushing papers all day. We actually have pretty darn fun jobs, and it's always fun to go to work. So good to have you here this morning, and thanks so much for listening to us here at 95.7 The Game. We appreciate your patronage, and we appreciate you downloading the radio.com app. You can listen to Joe Lo and Dibs no matter where you are. I know once we get back to some normalcy, you're going to be back out traveling. You're going to be getting on the road. You always have radio.com in your pocket. You can listen to Joe Lo and Dibs and all the great programming here at 95.7 The Game anytime you want. All right, let's get back to a little bit of what Vinny Serrato was talking about. When I asked him the Dak Prescott, Jimmy Garoppolo question, was the sense you got, he said they're kind of the same guy because they need other elements around them? Am I interpreting what he said correctly?
I think so.
Yeah? Is that how you see them? See, I look at Prescott as a more athletic quarterback. I think he can make the throws, but I also find him to be more dangerous in a running fashion. I think if he has to, he can get out and go. I think his build is bigger. His build is stronger. That's my view of Dak Prescott, although I'm not sure I take Prescott over Garoppolo if someone says, you've got to take one of those two.
Yeah, I would take Garoppolo, and I will say this. I mean, Garoppolo, I think there are similarities as far as talent that may be needed for them to function at their most optimum, right? You know, mm-hmm. they need to have a certain level of talent and everything kind of being on the same page. The one thing, though, that I'll say about Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo did win games for the 49ers last year when he had to just grip it and rip it. Like, he was put in that position a few times, and he came through. And I know we focus on, well, he didn't come through in the Super Bowl, and they were running the football a lot in the two playoff games leading up to the Super Bowl. And there's sort of this lingering question that comes into 2020 about how much the 49ers really trust Jimmy Garoppolo because they ran it so much and because he was a little shaky for a portion of the Minnesota game in that first playoff game. So it leaves a little bit of a lingering question, but I still tend to go back and look at, you know, the times where he had to make big throws against the Rams, against the Saints, you know, even against the Steelers early in the season, after he had had some turnovers. I just look at all of those examples, and I think the upside as far as just being a thrower and a guy that can be a guy that's going to sling it around the field a little bit, I think he's got a greater upside, and he's also done more to lead his team farther, kind of on his own.
Yeah, I know the detractors will say, yeah, he needed to make a big throw in the Super Bowl and he missed his guy who was wide open. Those are the detractors, though. Those are the guys that are going to say, hey.
Well, and those guys aren't going away.
No. No, they're not. But I think Vinny Serrato was right. They both need guys around them, including in the running game. And I think somehow we got skewed into thinking, oh, with Kyle Shanahan coming over, and he had Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan was an MVP in the past because he had Kyle Shanahan there and he was slinging it all over the field and he had Julio Jones, they thought they were going to have an offense that was chucking it 40 times a game. I don't think that's what Kyle Shanahan wants to do, and he didn't have to do it to get to the Super Bowl last year. In fact, I think we found when they had to ask Garoppolo to throw the ball more than 35 to 40 times, it usually wasn't a good day for the 49ers, right? They were usually in tougher circumstances. Now, the seven-throw game against Green Bay in the playoffs, I think that's just because they were beating the tar out of them on the ground. They didn't have they got the ball, they scored, they didn't have to worry about anything, right? They got the ball, they ran it again, they scored, they didn't have to worry about anything. But I do think that for what Shanahan is doing and the weapons they have around him, the run game is far more important, and we shouldn't get hoodwinked into thinking that the 49ers need a quarterback who can chuck it 35, 40 times a game, JD, because I don't think that's their ethos. I don't think that's the way they think they can win with this particular unit.
Well, and I'll make part of the argument for you and throw it back to you in this way. You could also make a case that the 49ers offense, in terms of the passing game, really didn't reach another level until after they acquired Emmanuel Sanders. And then George Kittle came back from his injury, and you had both of them in addition to Deebo Samuel. You could make a case going into 2020 that now with Emmanuel Sanders playing for the Saints, and we don't really know what the 49ers are going to get as far as their draft pick and Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State. There's a lot on the incumbent receivers to reach a level that they were unable to get to, Deebo Samuel aside, just based on injury or being underwhelming, and now you throw the rookie from Arizona State into the mix. They're going to start this 2020 season with more unknown at that position than they had for a majority of the 2019 season, at least the portion of the 2019 season when Jimmy Garoppolo was his most effective.
Man, and I wonder how all this crazy layoff time is going to affect that position as well, because you don't have people in the facility. You can't have the same workout structure. In fact, because of the world we live in, state by state, things are different. We see stories of Tom Brady having practices in the park, down in Tampa, but can you do that here? Although I did see, didn't our good friend Raj Mathai tweet out a picture that Garoppolo was in some park somewhere throwing footballs around? I think Raj had sent that out. I saw that on his Twitter feed, but this was weeks ago.
I'm on it.
And I know I've been on a number of these 49ers Zoom video conferences with the media. They've basically had their entire offseason availability program, conducted mm-hmm. through these Zoom meetings. Yeah. And a number of different players have hinted at the fact that while it may not be firmly set up yet, they're going to find somewhere to go at some point, meaning Jimmy Garoppolo and the Good. Receiving corps, between now and let's say August 1st when training camp. I think the 49ers, as it stands right now, would report on the 31st of July and start the next day on August 1st, leading up to the whenever that first preseason game is scheduled, I think 2 weeks from then. But there is it has been hinted at by a number of players that at some point here shortly, and we're still 2 months and about a week away from August 1st, he is going to get together with his group of receivers to try and build some kind of chemistry.
Good. I'm glad he is, and I hope that he's able to do it, and I hope everyone can stay safe. The other part to that is, though, getting them into the facility and making sure their bodies are ready to go. It is a physical bruising season, and you need the offseason to prepare your body for it. And what are players able to do at this point in order to get their bodies ready to play that long 17-week season? You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco. It's a radio.com sports station. Joe Lowendibs, the name of the program, but all three guys are off today. They have the extended holiday break. Good for them. Take some time to be with your families, be safe, and have some loving in your life. John Dickinson, Jim Cosimore stepping in for today. We appreciate you listening to us. We know a lot of you are out there on the roads, by the way. I've noticed it. Every day I try to get out and do about an hour bike ride, or either a bike and hike or a bike and a trail run. And yesterday, JD, I got to be honest with you. There were a lot of cars out on the roadways yesterday afternoon. I think more and more people are venturing out. More and more people are smart about it. And more people, I think, want to get back to life. And I think that's a good thing for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I've noticed a significant uptick as well. I think within the last week to 10 days, as some of the restrictions have been eased. And I think, you know, people are comfortable with the rules. People are comfortable with, hey, you know, you can get out a little bit more, but make sure you're keeping the appropriate distance, and make sure you're wearing a mask if you're going to be around other people.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.